The first reading is taken from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God all over, forever praised. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot to the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As the evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. Give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Please sit.
Lord Jesus Christ, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us, for your holy name's sake. Amen. Well, as you know, we are in a series on Romans, but because we're being joined by hopefully lots of people from around the diocese who will not have had the joy of that series, I'm actually just going to stick to the gospel reading this morning. And our gospel passage, which of course is very well known, starts with Jesus hearing the dreadful news about John the Baptist's beheading. None of us can really understand what it would have been like for Jesus, fully God, yet also fully human, to hear such sad news. As God, of course, he knew the future, so he knew it was coming. But it would not have prevented him from feeling a great sorrow. I expect that as he hears of John's grisly death, his mind is turned towards what lies ahead of him at Golgotha. So burdened by this tragic news, we're told that he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. I suspect at this time of social distancing, few of us would actually choose to go to an even more solitary place than we may have been inhabiting. But at this moment in time, Jesus wants to move as far away as possible from the crowds, with only his inner circle, who presumably will be rowing the boat or operating the sails. So they set sail to the far shore in search of peace and solitude. And then we're told that the crowds followed him on foot from the town. I can imagine the disciples' hearts sinking, thinking, ah, that plan just hasn't worked. They've seen where we're going and they're following us now. Their plan unravels. And indeed, the crowd beats them to the other side. They flocked around the top of the lake. And we're told in verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw such a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So Jesus heals them, and when the evening comes, he feeds them before they take the long road home. So what can we learn from this much-loved and well-known miracle? Well, I think above all, it teaches us of Jesus' compassion. Just when he really needed a break, some peace and quiet to recover, he pours himself out. This is no celebrity preacher, probably in the USA, heading back to what's known as the green room with his PA and assistant and makeup artist, making sure the door is closed and nobody's going to bother them. He is in the thick of them, meeting their needs. Jesus had come to find a place of peace and quiet and loneliness, and instead he finds himself amongst a vast crowd eagerly demanding what he could give. And he might so easily have resented them, but he doesn't, because Jesus wasn't like that. So far from finding them a nuisance, he's moved with compassion for them. And the sort of compassion that Jesus models for us here is surely an example that we should all strive to imitate, however difficult. It's tough, it's costly, but it's indispensable. And we see that he meets different sorts of needs here. Now, of course, back then, without any real medical knowledge, let alone a National Health Service, physical healing for those who were ill and suffering was of huge importance. So he physically heals people. No doubt he performed countless miracles that day. And with the physical healing would also have come spiritual healing, so often even more important than the physical healing. But he also meets their material needs. And at a time of a pandemic, when food banks, the food in our food banks are flying off the shelves, people are being made redundant, money is short, this aspect of material needs is high up on our agenda too. His disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." You can just see what's running through the mind of the disciples, can't you? They don't quite get it. They are absolutely exhausted. They're hacked off that their plan to find some peace and quiet has failed dismally. And now it's, come on, can we just get rid of these guys? It's been a long day. Please, can you just send them all home, Jesus? Now, there are different things we could learn, or I could teach from this miraculous meal. I could show you that it is a foretaste of what theologians called the messianic banquet. In other words, it's a picture of God calling together a massive random crowd of people who have accepted his invitation, and they come to join in the feast while those who have not responded are locked outside, never to enter, as described later on in Matthew in chapter 22. An incredible party where God is the host and all these people you'd never expect to see turn up and are welcomed. I could also suggest that this miraculous meal was a sort of Holy Communion, a Eucharist, a Thanksgiving meal, a Lord's Supper, a sacramental meal, where the bread is blessed and broken and then shared, and even the smallest scraps of bread give the recipients the spiritual food they need for the journey ahead. But actually, what I want to share with you today is this. Jesus uses 5 loaves and 2 fish. Did he need to? Well, I think no, he didn't. He could easily have served up 5,000 beef Wellingtons and croquette potatoes. But he says, bring the loaves and fishes here to me. Jesus works his miracle with the small offerings that they bring him. And what has struck me afresh about this passage is he doesn't make huge demands on them, doesn't he? Does he? It's just, can you just bring whatever food you happen to have with you? For us today, Jesus, he does demand for all of us today that we tell other people about him. But he makes no demands on us for what we do not have. If all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that is good enough for him. So what Jesus is saying to us here is, come to me as you are, however ill-equipped. Bring to me what you have, however little, however insignificant, and I will use it greatly in my service. He's not looking for your capability. He is looking for your availability. Little is always much in the hands of Christ, but you must bring it. You must make yourself available and open to being used. Now, someone who made themselves available was a 21-year-old music college student. She took the cheapest ship she could find, calling at the greatest number of countries, and prayed to know where to disembark. She arrived in Hong Kong in 1966 and came to a place called the Walled City. It was a small, densely populated, lawless area into which the police seldom ventured. It was a high-rise slum for drug addicts, gangs, and sex workers. She wrote, "I loved this dark place. I hated what was happening in it, but I wanted to be nowhere else. It was almost as if I could already see another city in its place, and that city was ablaze with light. It was my dream. There was to be no more crying, no more death or pain. The sick would be healed, addicts set free, the hungry filled. There were families for orphans, homes for the homeless, and a new dignity for those who had lived in shame. I had no idea of how to bring this about, but with visionary zeal, imagined introducing the Walled City people to the one who could change it all, Jesus." Jackie Pullinger took what little she had and let God use her. She had no capability, but she had availability. And she spent over half a century working with heroin addicts, gang members, and sex workers. Many of you will have read her incredible book, Chasing the Dragon. I've heard her say, I love this quote, "God wants us to have soft hearts and hard feet. The trouble with so many of us is that we have hard hearts and soft feet." Jackie is a glowing example of the 2 points I want you to take home from this talk. First, huge compassion in that she has, over the decades, met people's needs, their material needs and their spiritual needs. Second, she gave God what little she had and allowed him to use her in such a way that thousands upon thousands of lives have been changed because of her. Jesus needs what we can bring him. It may not be much, but he needs it. It may well be that the world might be denied miracle after miracle and triumph after triumph because we will not bring Jesus what we have and what we are. If we could lay ourselves on the altar of his service, there is no saying what he could do with us and through us. We may be sorry and embarrassed that we have no more to bring, and rightly so, but that is no reason for failing to bring what we have. Remember that little is always much in the hands of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful miracle. And we pray, Lord, that your word would feed us today, would change us today, and give us the spiritual food for the journey ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.